It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
Start on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Gordon by Gordon Branch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show at Locked On Rockets, and of course the blog at ClutchCityCR. Now for today's episode, I kind of hinted at it already in yesterday's show, but today is going to be our kind of season in review for one Eric Gordon. Now, this is an interesting one because obviously there's a lot of talk centered on trading Eric Gordon, but I do still want to recap his season and look at what would need to, you know, kind of just evaluating him as a player moving forward, because let's face it, there is a legitimate possibility that Eric Gordon is not moved this offseason, and if he's not, he's very much a part of this Rockets organization moving forward. And I spent a little bit of time talking about the fact that he very well can still be the third best player on a championship team. The issue, though, that he's found himself in the past couple seasons, in fact, really the past three seasons or so with the Rockets, is, you know, all the way dating back to 17-18, was when Chris Paul goes down and isn't available for Game 6 and Game 7, he's suddenly second banana. The last year with Chris Paul, he stepped into the second banana role because Chris Paul had a really lackluster playoffs against the Jazz and against the Warriors. So you probably can't win with Eric Gordon as your second best player. And just, again, these past playoffs, the most recent set, he was the second best player through largely most of the playoffs because of the absence of Russell Westbrook. And then when Russ did come back, he was largely inconsistent because he didn't have the necessary reps under his belt to be in a position to be the Robin to James Harden's Batman, or the Superman to James Harden's Batman, whatever you want to call it. He wasn't able to be that second best player consistently upon his return. So Eric Gordon was basically your second best player for a lot of this last playoff run. And unfortunately, that's just not enough to cut the mustard. It's not. Now, Eric had a down season. There's no denying that. He had the knee injury. Was never quite right this past season. Now, the biggest thing that stands out to me is when I look at this past season and how his stats kind of dropped off a little bit. You look at his like points per game averages, and you can go all the way back to his first year with the Houston Rockets, that 16-17 season. He was at 16.2 points per game. Then he goes up to 18 in the 17-18 campaign. He's down to 16.2 again in the 2018-2019 season. And then he's down to 14.4 points per game this past season. Now, those aren't drastic numbers there. You know, that's a bucket here or there. But the biggest thing, and this is the part that is the scariest that stands out, is his first season with the Rockets, he shot a hair over 37% from behind the arc. Next season, 36%. The following season, 36% again. In his fourth season with the Rockets, this most recent season, he was down to all the way just below 32% from behind the arc. And that is the one that is the scariest, because Eric Gordon throughout this entire season never really felt like he had his three-point shot behind him. Even when he looked good, even when he came back from the knee injury and, you know, had the successful surgery on it and, you know, was rehabbing, it was good. He came back, he looked explosive, he looked like a healthy version of himself, and he was finishing at the rim. He was doing an excellent job, you know, getting to the bucket, play, you know, that half of his game, the driving, you know, finishing at the rim side of his game, because he's not just a spot-up shooter. That side of his game looked great, but he never really got the three ball back to where it needed to be. He wasn't a consistent three-point shooting threat, and that was the biggest detriment to his game. Because even if you come down and you look at his advanced stats, because my thing was, you know, I've kind of worried about how how much Gordon has been relegated to that spot-up shooter role, especially alongside Russ, because Russ demands the ball so much more than Chris Paul did. And so I was looking at his usage rating, and he really, his usage rating hasn't fluctuated all too much. His best season as a Houston Rocket was easily that 17-18 year, and he was up to a 24.7% usage rating. But the year prior, 22.1, the year after, 22, and this past season, 22.5. So his usage rating has dropped a little bit compared to that really successful season, but and I do think that is in part because of the relationship that he shares with Russell Westbrook when they're on the court together, or for example, the fact that, you know, throughout points in this past season, he was injected into the starting lineup, and when he's in the starting lineup, his usage rating is going to crater because he's not only playing alongside Russell Westbrook, but he's also at that point playing alongside James Harden. So it's basically impossible for him to find time to really hold the basketball and to kind of get into his rhythm, I guess, offensively, because he is a player that I feel like does need the ball a bit more versus just being relegated to that stand at the three-point line, catch the ball, and shoot it. I think some of the best games that we've seen from Eric Gordon are the games where he's utilizing his entire package as far as a player goes. You know, The 50-point game against the Utah Jazz really comes to mind when I think about that, because that was a game where Eric had his full skill set on display. He was attacking, he was shooting, he was doing everything that he needed to do. And when you're a player out there that has more to offer than just a three-point shot, like, say, PJ Tucker or Robert Covington, you know, those two guys offensively are very limited with their toolkits because they're basically prototypical 3-and-D guys. When you're a guy like Eric Gordon who can approach the game in a variety of different ways offensively, it sucks to just be relegated to that one spot-up three-point shooting role, and it really didn't feel like he got to flourish with his entire, again, arsenal offensively throughout this past season. And some of that, again, is because he shares the court with Russell Westbrook a lot, and Russ needs the ball in his hands and dominates the ball, you know, in a similar fashion to James Harden up until the moment where he releases the pass and it's up to the person on the receiving end of the pass to then shoot the wide open shot. Whereas, you know, there's not really possessions where if it's Russ and Eric on the court together, there's very few possessions where Russ defers to Eric Gordon. So I do think that is one of the issues for the down season, but also just, you know, being hampered by that knee injury to start the season, you know, to try and coming in out of shape and then not really having a good start to the season, then having to go in and rehab and come back in the middle of the season. Eric was just never really right. Now, we did see flashes of what he is capable of, but it just wasn't ever consistent this past season, unfortunately. So I want to go in, and we're going to do another SWOT analysis because I'm really partial to these now. I think they're great. So we're going to analyze strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats to Eric Gordon coming up in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at BuiltBar.com. It's time for you to start enjoying protein bars, and you can do that with Built Bar. They've got so many delicious, amazing flavors, cookies and cream, carrot cake, double chocolate mousse, you know, my favorite, double chocolate mousse, peanut butter, mint chocolate brownie. I mean, the flavors are just amazing. They've got so many good ones. These bars, they are jam-packed with protein, but they're covered in 100% real chocolate, and that's what makes them so great. They're not protein bars, right? They're basically candy bars that are jam-packed with protein. They're soft, they're easy to chew, they're not gritty or chalky like some other protein bars are on the market. They're great for the health-conscious person, whether you're trying to lose weight or even just maintain the weight that you're currently at. You can do that, and you can indulge in this delicious little treat. They're low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing for a keto diet. And you can check them out. Just go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your very next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off your very next order at BuiltBar.com. And we're back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. If you want to call into the show, if you have a topic that you want to discuss, call in 713-487-5457. Leave a message. If you want, I'll play it back on the show. If you just want to chime in, if you don't feel like, you know, dropping a DM or messaging on Instagram or whatever, and you'd rather leave a message for me to listen to instead, go for it, 713-487-5457 to call into the show. I set up this voice line so that you could reach out to me so that that we could have more interaction, because that's what I love about this platform. I love being able to interact with you, the listener, because this isn't just a stage for me to get up on and preach my thoughts about the Rockets. I love the interaction. I love the dialogue, especially on Twitter, the back and forth with other fans, with other media. It's incredible. So check it out. Call in. Again, 713-487-5457. So let's get into the strengths and weaknesses portion of our Eric Gordon SWOT analysis. So it's pretty easy to look at Eric Gordon and figure out what his strengths are. He is excellent at driving. He's excellent at finishing through contact. And he's a plus defender. I think those are very clearly his subset of strengths. Especially if, you know, I think if you could go further back and not specifically this past season, you would throw his shooting in there as a strength. But unfortunately, based on how poorly he performed this past season in that area of his game, I can't include it as a strength. Right now, his shooting is a weakness. So, but looking at his strengths, I think there's, you know, there's a lot to work with there, and especially for a guy like Eric Gordon, who I think doesn't get the credit that he deserves sometimes as a defender, because a lot of times, especially in some of the Rockets' closing lineups, and you can say the same for PJ Tucker, what I'm about to say, but Eric Gordon largely, he defends out of position quite often. You know, he's a 6'3", 6'4", combo guard. He's stocky. He's got a lot of mass. That's mean to Eric Gordon. Or, you know, hashtag Pie Mamba. But anyways, no, he really is. He's a very stocky, built guard. He's got a lot of muscle mass. And he's able to go up against larger players and defend them pretty well. I think that, you know, one of the things that we saw in the playoffs against the Lakers was we saw Eric Gordon, of all people, guarding LeBron James, as the primary defender throughout stretches of these games. And largely, he didn't get bullied. And that wasn't something that I was expecting, was Eric Gordon being able to stick with. And nobody shuts down LeBron James. Nobody... Even slowing down LeBron James is a monumental task, but Eric Gordon did a great job of keeping his body in front of him, using his chest to keep LeBron in place. You know, he's got very solid defensive instincts, and I think that's something that he doesn't get enough credit for, being a plus defender on this Rockets team, being out there alongside Russ and James, who at times throughout the regular season, Russ and James, you know, had their deficiencies defensively. It was great to see James really step it up in the bubble and Russ as well. You know, when he's focused and when he's an on-ball defender, I think Russ can be better, but there are times when, you know, off-ball, when the awareness is not always there. But Eric Gordon, complete plus defender, and then the other two, obviously, driving, finishing through contact, those are things that we've come to see from him. When he drives to the rim and he gets a good plant on his, you know, plants his leg properly and is able to go up through the defender, he largely is able to body them off and then get the shot up, you know, uncontested usually, because he uses his strong upper body to knock away defenders before he's attempting the shot. Now, when you look at his weaknesses, anybody who's ever watched Eric Gordon for more than two or three games of basketball knows that he is not the best passer, and he's also not the best ball handler, unfortunately. It's interesting because, you know, one of his strengths being driving the basketball, but one of his weaknesses being ball handling. You would think that those two, you would have to be a good ball handler to be able to be successful at driving. Not necessarily. You know, when Eric Gordon's drives are the most effective, I feel like, are when he takes one or two power dribbles and then finishes off, you know, picks up the ball and takes his two steps, and then he's finishing right at the rim. Not all the, you know, the showboating, the between the legs, the crossovers that he tries to attempt sometimes. He is not a good ball handler. I think that he is, you know, very turnover prone when it comes to ball handling and passing, especially when he gets up in the air and doesn't know exactly where he's going with the ball. Those are some of the areas where he absolutely needs to improve. And this is the one that was the most glaring this past season, his inconsistent three-point shooting. You know, Eric Gordon is a guy who is a former three-point champion, and to me, though, Eric Gordon hasn't ever really been a lights-out three-point shooter. He's just a guy who thrives on a lot of three-point volume, and he fits into what the Rockets do. The Rockets have never been a great three-point shooting team. They've always just buried teams under the avalanche of a volume of threes that they use. And so Eric Gordon fits that mold very well, but this past season, down to below 32% from behind the arc is not going to cut it as a shooter that's taking over 8 three-point attempts per game. You can't take 8 threes a game and be a bad three-point shooter. You just can't. There were games where he was legitimately shooting the Rockets out of certain games in the playoffs because he's getting up to, you know, 8, 9, 10 three-point attempts, and he's only hit one or two. It's just, it's painful to watch. And I have a piece that I want to talk about regarding that I want to hit on in the opportunity section coming up here in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at Roman. Look, it can be awkward or even embarrassing to talk about erectile dysfunction. Usually guys just brush it off or they blame themselves, but Roman is here to get you the advice you want and the help that you need with no shame. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medicine with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is so easy. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to talk about, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today and connect with a doctor to take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn to get up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOn for up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/LockedOn. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for all things Houston Rockets basketball. To stay up to date with the show, be sure to follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin and, of course, the show at Locked On Rockets. Now, mentioned it already, kind of teased into it, but talking about... So we've got our opportunities and our threats left for Eric Gordon. Now, opportunities, I think it's really clear. I think there was a distinct lack of plays being specifically run for Eric Gordon, especially in the latter half of the season. And I say latter half of the season, we'll say the bubble half of the season. In the bubble and in the playoffs, it really felt like there weren't periods where Eric Gordon was getting any plays run for him. Whereas you look back to... when the Rockets have found a lot of success with Eric is when they run him off screens, when they run specific actions to get him the ball, maybe going downhill, things like that, where he really does feel like at times the focal point or the tip of the spear of the offense where, hey, you know, they're going to run an elevator screen for him, right? Where he does the, you know, either James or Russ is down there in the post and Eric kind of runs off of curls off of the screen and either runs up to the three-point line for an open three-point shot as PJ Tucker jumps out with a flare screen, or he circles back and gets an open layup in the paint. It really didn't feel like we saw hardly any of that throughout the playoffs. And so that's my first area for him is, if he's back in a Houston Rockets jersey next season, I'd like to see them actually run some sets for him. And I'm really hopeful that whatever coach comes in is going to deviate away from the isolation-heavy offense that the Rockets have. I think they kind of stumbled into the isolation-heavy offense with James Harden and the success that they found during his, you know, quote-unquote unguardable tour during last season. And I think that was kind of a blessing and a curse, because now they've realized that, hey, James Harden is the most efficient ISO scorer in NBA history, so why would we run any other version of offense when we can just run everything through James and be getting, you know, a higher or a greater, you know, points per possession metric than if we were to run a more traditional style of offense? And I think that, again, it's got its pros and its cons, but I think what you're seeing is... when you look at the other great teams, right, the other elite teams in the league, the Lakers, the Bucks, the Heat, the Clippers, maybe I shouldn't include the Clippers in there, whatever. You know, we're allowed to slander the Clippers here at Locked On Rockets. But looking at the other elite teams, right, is none of them go as ISO heavy as the Rockets do early and throughout the games. Whereas at the end of games, that's traditionally where you find those isolation opportunities where it's, you know, the final, you know, 3 to 5 minutes of a game, it's close. That's when you just give the ball to your star player and you tell everybody else to get the hell out of the way and let them go to work. Meanwhile, the Rockets do that the entire game. And so, one, I do think that that increases the workload on both James Harden and Russell Westbrook, the expectation for them to consistently produce everything offensively. And it also allows defenses to key in on that, which is exactly what we saw in the playoffs with the Lakers. It's exactly what we saw with the double teams on James Harden, because that was the offensive game plan, was try to let James Harden isolate. If they're going to send a double team, then it's a 4-on-3 and it's advantageous for the Rockets. But they were never able to take advantage of it. So I'd like to see whatever coach steps into the head coaching role to deviate away from the isolation heavy offense. It can still be used in spurts and it can still be used situationally, but getting guys like Eric Gordon more involved in the offense rather than just being relegated to those spot up 3-point shooter roles, it's important. It's important for the chemistry of the team. It's important for the confidence of the player in question. And I feel like a guy like Eric Gordon, who again offers so much more to the game than just being a spot up 3-point shooter, would benefit largely from having a couple plays, couple sets drafted up, you know, here and there for him to really get into the flow of the offense rather than just being, you know, thrown into the game and expected to be able to throw up 10 3-pointers and hit 40, or not 40 of them, four of them, right? Hit, you know, shooting 40% from downtown. There are guys that, you know, if you've ever played the game of basketball, right, if you've ever picked up a basketball and gone to a hoop and actually played on a court, you understand there's a rhythm and a feel to the game. And it's really tough to just be expected to stand on the three-point line and catch the ball and shoot and then go back and give your all defensively. And then to come back down and watch another guy dominate the ball for much of the offensive possession and then be dished the ball at the last second and expect to be able to shoot it after you haven't touched the ball, you've got no rhythm, you haven't dribbled at all. There's an element of the game that is alien because of the Rockets' style of play and because of how dominant James Harden is with the ball and by extension Russell Westbrook is. Now, that's by design. That's not accidental. That is by design. And it's, you know, impressive that they've been able to get players to buy into this system. So I do want them to deviate away a little bit from that, and I think that Eric Gordon would benefit greatly if they did do that. Now, my other area that I want to talk about as far as opportunities go is the distance from which Eric Gordon shoots. Now, I've got his distance tracking chart up here just for the regular season. I'm not looking at the playoffs. But for the regular season, he attempted 50 shots between 20 and 24 feet. And look, we know that the Rockets do not shoot long, too, so we know that these are all three-pointers, essentially. And he was only 20, and he only shot 20.5% on those shots between 20 and 24 feet. Now, between 25 and 29 feet, he shot 34.1% on 249 attempts. But my thing is, and then he also, from 30 to 34 feet, he had 8 attempts. He shot 2 of 8, so 25%. But legitimately, looking at these metrics right here, he's shooting so many of his shots from 2, 3, 4, 5 steps behind the 3-point line. And yes, I can look at the raw total of it, the 25 to 29 feet. It says he's shooting 34%. Sure, I would imagine that the shots that he's shooting that are closer to the 25-foot mark are better than the shots that he's shooting closer to the 29-foot mark. It's boggling my mind that Eric Gordon still elects to shoot from so far out behind the three-point line. It made sense back when, you know, back in 16-17, when Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson were in the starting lineup and they really were prioritizing that extra spacing by having Rhino and EG step, you know, multiple steps behind the three-point line to kind of create that extra spacing, that was intentional. But they don't need to do that anymore because the fact of the matter is, with five guys who can all shoot the ball, you don't need all that extra spacing. You're already generating an insane amount of spacing just by having five shooters out there on the court. So it doesn't make sense to me why Eric would continue to stay 3, 4, 5, 6 feet behind the three-point line and continue to, you know, just heave from so far away when it would be a lot easier on him, especially late in games, right? Especially later on in games as your legs start to wane, as you get closer to the final buzzer, when you are the most tired, taking a step or two in would be so much more beneficial to him. And I know that the numbers, if you look at, you know, again, the 20 to 24 foot range, he only shot 20.5% on. So you might be looking at those numbers and you could think, okay, well, he's shooting poorly the closer he gets to the basket. I think that that's more just a matter of either A, like defenders closing out on him a little bit more in that area, but also just the fact that he's not shooting from that area enough. He's not shooting from the normal three-point distance enough, and instead he's choosing to shoot from multiple steps behind the three-point line, but he's doing so at a worse percentage. 34% is still not passable for Eric Gordon. Again, his other seasons in Houston, 37%, 36%, 36%. He's 2 percentage points below his better averages for Houston, and his best season where he was 37%. So I do think that there's something to be said for him stepping in and reducing the distance of his three-point shot a little bit. I think that could be beneficial to Eric Gordon, so that's an opportunity to look for moving forward. Now, this final segment, right? Threats. What are the threats to Eric Gordon? And you know, one, being traded. So that's one threat, right? No, but legitimately, I think that, I've harped on it a little bit, and it still rings true, is being relegated to a spot-up shooter. I think that Eric Gordon offers you so much more as a player than just a spot-up shooter, because at the end of the day, if you're looking for somebody to just be a spot-up three-point shooter, put in Ben McLemore, because he is going to give you a spot-up three-point shooter that shoots at a better clip than Eric Gordon has in his entire Houston career. So why not just run Ben McLemore if that's all you're looking to get out of that player on the court at that time? So I don't think he needs to be, you know, being relegated to a spot-up shooter role is not ideal for Eric Gordon. It's not ideal for the Rockets offense. And then also playing out of position. I think there is something to be said for, even though he is a plus defender, being thrown at bigger, stronger wings consistently over the course of a game is bound to tire him out more quickly and to reduce his effectiveness overall throughout the entirety of the game, both offensively and defensively, than if he were guarding other guards. And so that's an issue that you face when you've got James Harden and Russell Westbrook. So where do you find the minutes for Eric Gordon? He pretty much has to slot in at the small forward slot, which basically means he is playing out of position defensively and guarding bigger, stronger players and having to battle against bigger and stronger players rather than being guarded by smaller guards. We see it consistently with Russell Westbrook, where he's able to use his bigger size, because Russ is a big guard as well. So Russ is able to use his bigger body to bully other guards, because largely the other smaller guards on the team have to match up with Russell Westbrook. So he's able to utilize that matchup to his advantage, whereas Eric Gordon never really gets that matchup advantage, because he's usually, especially when it's, again, when it's James and Russ on the court at the same time, he's basically slotted in as the small forward. And so he's usually being guarded by bigger, stronger players. Now, that does present another mismatch opportunity for him where he's faster than those players, but it is something that I do think playing out of position at times can be detrimental to Eric Gordon's productivity. And so that's something that moving forward, I don't know how you would change it, because again, the Rockets have, assuming Austin Rivers walks this offseason, they have Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Eric Gordon, and Ben McLemore for next season. And like I said, if what they're looking for is just a spot-up three-point shooter, Ben McLemore should get the nod for the minutes. And I've advocated for Ben McLemore to be the second guard alongside Russell Westbrook and James Harden when their minutes are staggered. Because I do think that he is a better complement to those two players in what they need to be able to accomplish on the court, because they demand so much of the attention of the basketball that Ben McLemore is bound to get wide open shots. If Ben McLemore could get 8 to 10 three-point attempts per game like Eric Gordon does, he would average probably 15 points a game. It would be insane to see what Ben McLemore could do with more shot attempts and more minutes throughout the course of a game. But that being said, I do think that Eric Gordon still has his value, can still be a productive, contributing member of this Rockets team, but he is also the only movable salary that they have to try and orchestrate some type of a trade to bolster this Rockets lineup moving forward, moving into next season. So I still had to give him a breakdown, still had to give him his due diligence. But if I had to put the smart money on it, I do think Eric Gordon is going to be moved before the start of next season. So that's going to wrap it up for today's episode. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.